Picture yourself in the nosebleed seats at the football stadium at the University of Arizona. While you're peering down at the field or over at the Jumbotron to catch the plays, something totally unexpected is taking form beneath your feet.
A furnace is whirring to life. A giant furnace tucked beneath the east stands of the stadium. And inside this furnace is glass. Tens of thousands of pounds of glass melting and spinning into the world's most gigantic mirror.
I'm Dylan Thuris, and this is Atlas Obscura, a celebration of the world's strange, incredible, and wondrous places. Today, we're taking a trip to the Richard F. Karas Mirror Lab at the University of Arizona. It's where scientists are building gigantic mirrors that will show us the sharpest pictures of the cosmos that nature will even allow. And we'll talk to someone who got up close and personal with these gigantic mirrors. That's after this.
When was the last time I took a road trip? How many national parks could I hit in 2 weeks? What about hotels? Wait, hey, Erica, how much am I spending on travel?
When your questions about life turn into questions about money, there's Erica, the virtual financial assistant to help you spend, save, and plan smarter. Only from Bank of America. What would you like the power to do? Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Your chat may be recorded and monitored for quality assurance. Message and data rates and additional terms may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
For your next vacation spot, check out Texas for their vast landscape of culture, regions, destinations, and activities. Explore 350 miles of coastline and every kind of hiking trail, from strenuous to wheelchair accessible. Enjoy world-famous barbecue and Tex-Mex, and check out thrilling cowboy experiences. Travel Texas even offers an online trip builder that allows users to generate a custom, visually led trip matched to their unique interests. Visit traveltexas.com/get-your-own to get the only trip to Texas that matters. Yours. Our tour guide for today is reporter Johanna Mayer. She hosts Science Diction, a podcast from the public radio show Science Friday. Johanna, how are you doing today?
Hey, Dylan. I'm happy to be here.
I'm really excited to hear about this place. So, what exactly are these mirrors for?
Okay, so you know about the Hubble telescope, right?
Yes, absolutely.
What they're making at the Mirror Lab are the mirrors for a telescope that's going to be fully 10 times more powerful than the Hubble,
wow.
If you can even imagine. Wow. It's called the Giant Magellan Telescope, or the GMT. So if the GMT were placed in Phoenix, Arizona, and they pointed it right at Tucson, which is about 100 miles away,
yeah,
and somebody in Tucson held up a dime, you would be able to clearly see the torch on that dime.
Okay. This is a seriously heavy-duty telescope.
And the way that this thing looks is super cool, too. So to me, models of the GMT look kind of like a huge work of modern art. So the telescope's going to be made up of 7 gigantic circular mirrors, which is what they're making at the Mirror Lab. And they're all going to be arranged in sort of a flower shape, with one of those giant mirrors at the center and the other 6 are sort of surrounding it. And it's going to be placed in Chile's Atacama Desert, which has one of the most pristine views of the sky, very, very little light pollution. So in models of this telescope, it just kind of looks like this huge reflective flower that's like perched on a sandy mountaintop.
How big do these mirrors get?
They're like the biggest mirrors in the world, Dylan. They are 27 and a half feet. So if you were to kind of stand the mirror up on its side, they'd be 2 stories tall.
They're as big as a house.
Yeah, they're as big as a house.
That's insane.
And the idea behind this is that these 7 huge mirrors are going to kind of combine their mirror powers to make one extremely giant, extremely powerful mirror for this telescope.
I have never gone to an observatory like that. Like, I've never been to one of these mountaintop observatories, but I find them, like, deeply and profoundly romantic. So what? Okay, so they're going to help us see into space, but like, what are they looking for? What are they going to do?
Well, so I realized when I was reporting this, I kind of never really knew how mirrors work.
Right.
I mean, obviously, I understand like my bathroom mirror, but telescope mirrors, whole other ballgame. So I actually called up one of the mirror scientists who works at the lab to understand this a little better. This is Buddy Martin. He's a project scientist at the mirror polishing program at the Mirror Lab. And Buddy says these mirrors can actually reflect light from space.
In order to learn about the universe, learn about the structures and evolution of the universe, we have to be able to see or record light from extremely distant objects, you know, things that are billions of light years away, stars and galaxies. And because they're so far away, they're extremely faint. You're not getting very many photons, and you need a very large collecting area to get as many photons as possible.
They're like light buckets to collect, yeah.
Exactly. They're like a huge light catcher.
Yeah.
And they just kind of gather up all of these light particles or photons and reflect them back to give us a super sharp picture of faraway objects in space.
Right. And the bigger the mirror, the bigger the bucket. So this seems, it's like pretty high stakes project, right? It's been in the works for decades. It's like extremely exacting, high precision. And they're doing it, they're making it under a football stadium, which I'm going to say feels a little worrisome. I don't know, like everyone's stomping up and down, you know, there's an amazing play and the work gets destroyed. Like, is that actually a problem for them?
Yeah, it seems like an odd choice. But really, the main reason that they put it there is just because there was all of this available space underneath the stadium stands that just wasn't being used for anything else.
Got it.
So they really only come to the Mirror Lab to work during the week. It's pretty easy to work around the football games. But Buddy says that being underneath the football stadium stands does affect their work in one way.
You cannot park anywhere near the Mirror Lab. On the day of a football game, even many hours before the game. But you wouldn't choose to do that kind of thing during a football game.
So mirror scientists, they're just like us. They also struggle with parking. But one time, Buddy did come into the lab during a game, like just out of curiosity, just to see whether the instruments could pick up the vibrations from the stands. And they could. So
right. I mean, they must have really sensitive instruments.
Definitely.
You know? And so, yeah. Wow. Okay. So, right. The answer is just like, don't work on the giant, super expensive mirror when there's a football game. Okay.
Exactly.
Pretty straightforward. Yeah. Pretty straightforward.
Don't do it.
So, okay. They're making these giant house-sized mirrors, ultimately to create this mirror flower telescope in the Atacama Desert. How do they accomplish this?
Oof. It is a process. It takes 4 years to complete one of these mirrors.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Okay, so step one is that you just have to order a ton of glass, literal tons of glass, like 20 tons. And then they cut it all up and they lay it out on the bed of this furnace. And it just looks like this huge bowl full of diamonds just sitting in the middle of the lab.
This is a big I'm realizing just how big this furnace must really be. Like, holy moly. Okay.
Oh, it's huge. So have you ever been to like Six Flags or a carnival or something like that?
Absolutely.
So have you been on those rides that they look kind of like a UFO saucer or something? And you get in them, you stand against the wall, it spins, the floor drops out, and then you're like stuck on the wall like a bug.
The Gravitron. Yeah, I love that ride. I absolutely love that.
I hate that ride. But that is what this furnace looks like. It is that size. It spins.
Wow.
And once the glass is inside the furnace, they crank it up to these crazy high temperatures, like super hot.
Yeah, it's very hot. Inside the furnace, it's almost 1,200 degrees C or 2,100 Fahrenheit. Outside, it'll be in the 80s, maybe get up to 90, right near the high point in temperature.
And it starts to spin. And at its peak, it spins at 5 revolutions per minute. So it's not going super fast. But for something of that size, that's like a lot of noise, a lot of heat.
20 tons of molten glass. That's still pretty fast. Oh, my God. That's crazy.
And this is what this thing sounds like when it's moving at full speed.
Man, okay, so this is the sound. This is like the overwhelming noise you hear. You open the door underneath the football stadium. You are blasted with heat and that sound at maximum volume. This is not actually, for what I imagine is like a job that takes like a lot of credentials and tons of, of work to, like, pretty intense working environment. Like, that's a heavy duty sound, okay? Amazing.
Yeah. Buddy says it's kind of impossible to have a conversation when the furnace is going because it's just too loud. But that spinning motion is really important because it causes the glass, as it melts, to like climb up the sides of the gravitron machine a little bit and give it that parabolic surface. And once it's finished spinning, it has to cool down really slowly over a period of about 3 months so the glass doesn't crack while setting.
Okay.
And then they have to polish it. And I pictured like Little Orphan Annie, Hard Knock Lifestyle, scrubbing the mirrors on their hands and knees.
Yeah, like I'm picture people like suspended in harnesses, like over it, like rubbing it with, I don't know, very like special cloths or something.
It's all automated, but they do go through up to about 100 rounds of polishing, which can take up to 2 years.
So this whole process happens for just one of these 7 mirrors. So they have to do this over and over again?
6 more times. So they can technically work on 3 mirrors at once, just in various stages. But yeah, they only have the 1 furnace. So they're on mirror number 6 right now. And production on mirror number 7 is expected to begin in 2023. So we've still got a while. And in the late 2020s, they're going to move the mirrors to Chile. And that's when the giant Magellan telescope is scheduled to launch.
Where do they store the completed mirrors? And then how in the world are they ever going to get them across? Like, how are they going to move these things? I don't understand how they're going to get them there without breaking
them,
basically.
I know. Imagine you just crack it. There's like not enough super glue in the world.
Oh my God. It's so stressful.
I know. I feel you. So the mirrors that are already completed are in a storage facility, and when they're all finished, they're going to go on a long journey involving a flatbed trailer, a ship down to Chile, and another flatbed trailer that'll take them all the way up to the top of this mountain for the observatory. And I would be so nervous this entire time, but Buddy seemed pretty chill about it. He said he's been working at the mirror lab for 35 years and never had a big mirror crack on him. So I guess they're
in
pretty good hands.
I can't move furniture around in my house without breaking something. So this feels like way too high stakes for me. But this is amazing. Okay, so but he's been working on this for at least a decade or more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it won't be done until like close to 2030. Like how – it's got to be weird to be basically dedicating your life to this one project that's like gonna, you know, your life will like play out over the period of working on this. How's he feel about that?
I know. Buddy's been working on these mirrors through the 2020 election, through a pandemic. And I asked him, what is it like to work on something that could take decades to come to fruition?
I guess I have tunnel vision. You know, I try to not think about that and think about what it is going to do. And it's, you know, it's going to do some phenomenal science that you can't do with existing telescopes. I might not see it in my lifetime, but I think my kids probably will. And I'm even more confident that my grandchildren will.
Wow.
So something that really stuck with me that I keep thinking about when I was researching this piece was I watched this video with all these people who worked in the mirror lab, and this one guy made this comparison. He said that making the mirrors for these telescopes is kind of like the modern day equivalent to cathedral building, which, you know, took like hundreds of years sometimes. So the whole idea was, you know, you're making something that you might not see the fruits of, but you're looking to the future and just kind of dreaming of what subsequent generations are going to see and learn from your work.
I bet it feels good to be working on something that, when it's done, could have implications, scientific implications, for literally for like generations. That's a really exciting thing to be working on.
Certainly an exercise in delayed gratification.
Yeah. Do they ever let people in?
Typically they do. They're not giving tours right now because of COVID, but they're hoping to resume as soon as possible.
Well, thank you so much, Johanna, for taking us through the Mirror Lab, being our mirror correspondent, and really, really cool place.
I think I'm going to change my official title to Mirror Correspondent. Thank you, Dylan.
Thank you. I'll talk to you soon. Special thanks to the University of Arizona's Richard F. Karas Mirror Laboratory for the audio of The Spinning Furnace. We'd also like to thank Free Sound Archive contributors Dave Incamis, Gregor Quendel, and LS, whose recordings we used in this episode. Our podcast is a co-production of Atlas Obscura and Witness Docs. This episode was reported by
Johanna Mayer.
Our production team includes
Doug Baldinger,
Chris Naka,
Camille Stanley,
Willis Ryder Arnold,
Sarah Wyman,
Manolo Morales,
Chinenye Onike,
Maddie Weinberg,
Camille Mojica,
Tracy Samuelson,
John Delore,
Peter Clowney.
Our technical director is
Casey Holford.
This episode was mixed by
Luce Fleming.
Our theme and end credit music is by Sam Tyndall. And I'm Dylan Thuris, wishing you all the wonder in the world. I'll see you next time.
Witness Docs from Stitcher.
The world isn't wide enough for those with an insatiable desire for discovery. The all-new 2024 Lincoln Nautilus Hybrid SUV offers the power and freedom to explore further and deeper than ever before. Intuitive, smart features ensure that you're always connected to the road ahead. Inside, a thoughtfully designed cabin immerses you in a universe that is all your own. The larger-than-life panoramic display spans the entire width of the cabin. It's customizable and interactive. Drivers can even personalize their backgrounds with a series of nature-inspired themes. This vehicle signals the arrival of an exciting new chapter for Lincoln. Discover more about the 2024 Lincoln Nautilus at Lincoln.com.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.